deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that left Him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart: His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know: His wounds have paid my ransom.
Again, a good morning to everybody. And again, if anybody was dear, another happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are actually fathers. And a happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father, who is the greatest of them all. If you have gotten up the nerve or the relationship, I should say, to call your Heavenly Father your father, you have come a long way. I used to cringe at father figures. My dad was a little bit rough, but not bad. He wasn't bad. I didn't get to know him till I was older, because I never saw him when I was younger. But my Heavenly Father, indeed, don't let Satan tell you He doesn't love you. He loves you immensely. If you were the only one that He would have had to come and die for, He would have done it. He would have sent His Son to die for you. So that's an incredible love that we cannot even begin to understand that God has for us. It's hard to fathom, and yet the world always, that's the question. Where is God when this happens? Where is God when this happens? Where is God with all the starving in Africa, with all the disasters that happen? Well, people, we don't want God. So God is a gentleman. He steps aside, and the God of this world is in control. And guess what he does? He wreaks havoc. He brings destruction. He walks around seeking what and who he may devour. So you put out God. We've kicked him out of our classrooms. We've kicked him out of government. We don't want nothing to do with God. And look at the results. Are they any good? Have we seen improvements since God has been kicked out? No, we've seen it's been disastrous. But the church is partly to blame for this. I remember when they introduced evolution in school. I was in school. And we got an encyclopedia set provided by the school system back in the day. And then we got introduced to evolution. Oh, we laughed as kids. We laughed. And our German teacher took them and stapled them all shut. And the English teacher wasn't impressed with him, but no, lo and behold, he had the upper hand. So, but it was a laughing matter. But guess who's laughing now? The church went to sleep and they came out. I mean, it's such a ridiculous thing to believe in evolution. You can't pinpoint now. You can't prove nothing. At least with Jesus, I can prove he rose in my heart. He's there. He lives. He changed me. But what can evolution preach? How many people have on their deathbeds turned to evolution for an answer? When you're in a dire strait and you're down, what do you turn to? Who do you want to turn to? What do you want to turn to? For sure not evolution. You want to turn to something that has something. But there's a scripture that says, seek God while you are young. So when you are young, so when the days are, when you are old, you may have, I know it more in German, the verse, than I do in English, so that you may not say, oh, woe is me. So God's timing is not yesterday, it's not tomorrow, it's today. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. So before I get into my message, I'll be the only one preaching today, so it'll be short if you have something to go to, somewhere to go to quickly. So before I get into the message, I'll ask us to rise so we can honor God. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Heavenly Father, I praise and thank you that you are a tangible source. You become so real to all of us who have known you for so long. It's like we don't even think about that you're not real. Though the question sometimes crosses our minds, where is God? But it's for a split second. Doubt comes only to those who believe. An unbeliever can't doubt. So we ask that you will keep us strong. You will guide us down the path. You will walk with us. You will show your love through us to others so that they will come to you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen, and you may be seated. All our spiritual resources come from abiding in him. Everything that you will possess, all the power, I talked this, Brother Larry came up to me last Sunday and says, a simple message would be about what we have as believers already. It's already there, and I took it to heart right away. Little did he know that that was something I was already working on, but it was sort of a confirmation to me that what I need to work on, and even though I didn't spend more than 10 minutes at this, it came so fluently and so fast because it's such an easy message to preach and such an easy message to bring across that the hardest part about it is actually putting it into action. And really, even that is simple. All we have to do is apply the strength that's within us. So again, all our spiritual resources come from abiding in him. Once you know that, that's once the first step to realizing that everything that you have, if you're born again, all of you young people, all of you, if you have Jesus in your heart, you have strengths within you that you do not even recognize. Our strength, our fruit, our discernment, our gifts, everything we have, all that we need is already within us. And now we have to get to learn how to tap into this mighty well within us. In Philippians 4:13, a very, very well-known scripture, and this is not just for the positive things in life. This is to help us through the bad things in life. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So what can you do through Christ? All things. And so that tells you one thing. All the power is already within you. So Christ is there. He's within you. And it's there. All you have to do is tap into that resource. In Ephesians 3, verse 20 out of the King James Version, it says this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding. It doesn't say, now unto him that is able to do abundantly. It actually says exceeding abundantly. That means more than abundant. Above all that we ask, and look at the next one, even what you're thinking. So you don't even have to ask. You're thinking it is already there too. According to what? The power that works within you. So do you have the power? If you're born again, you do not even have to ask if you have the power. It is already within you. In Ephesians, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 to 7, it says, therefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, it's already in him, which is in you by the putting on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and of a sound mind. But how come so many of us live in fear? How come so many of us operate outside of love and least not sound mind? Why are so many of us on mind drugs or on helping us cope? We need to tap into Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit and help us through it. It's easier said than done, but the easy part is, the hard part is just getting over your pride and tapping into Him. The easy part is He kicks in then. He is like that drug that overtakes and you wonder what just happened. I'm not preaching this because I haven't experienced this. I have experienced this. If you think you have problems in life, we all have problems in life. We all struggle with things. Our struggles might be different. They might differ from one to another, but our struggles are real. They're everyday struggles all of us deal with, whether it's in school, at work, at home, in your mind, not sleeping, not being able to sleep. It's all struggles that we have to deal with, and there's a way to overcome them. And I'm not saying you will grin and bear, or you should grin and bear. I'm saying you should go to the first verse that I had, and from Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Tap into the resource. Tap into the source that is able to help you through whatever you're going through. In Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall you say here or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is already within you. It is within you. So why am I using this scripture? It's going back to the first, to my messages. You already have all power within you. And here is another scripture that tells you, where does God reside? Your temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit where God is dwelling within. So be careful how you treat that temple. Bring everything under subjection, your thoughts and also your body. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 to 9, King James Version, says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See here, you will never ever conjure up the power to love somebody that you hate. It is not possible, or that you can't even forgive. That power comes from crying out to God and asking you, Lord, and saying, Lord, I forgive the person. Then a supernatural power kicks in. If you have done it just to discipline yourself to basically put up with somebody, that's not good enough. You have to forgive. Unforgiveness is, again, I've mentioned that a thousand times, a lot of times here in church. Unforgiveness is the poison that you're drinking and hoping somebody else will die. So here, if you want the power to possess or to help you forgive somebody and to live in forgiveness, It's that kingdom living power that God is within you that can help you spread the real love of Jesus Christ. Not a superficial one that you can try to put on for 2 minutes. But it's real and it's there and people know that it is real. So, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. That goes back to what I said before. Everybody has issues. There is none of us who is in this human body who doesn't have stresses, whether it's kids in school, peer pressure, tests, exams. I can name them one after the other, but they equal to stress and pressures that Satan uses to bring you down and to turn you to try to turn you to substance abuse or to any kind of a bad habit that will cause you to not seek out God. We are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. This is because of the God that we serve. He will never allow you to go or to suffer more than you can handle. I choose to believe should be our motto. We should choose to believe. Don't ever say, I doubt this could happen to me. I doubt this when it comes to the things of God. You choose to believe. We should, or I will, make it a habit to consciously speak life. Watch my words at all times and believe in God. What He has for me shall come to pass. I will be intentional in every area of my life. That means when you speak things, when you say things, before you say it, think twice. Here are some scriptures about speaking things into existence that are their scriptures. And I've had them before, but scripture is good all the time. Death and life are in the power of your own tongue. They that shall love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So watch what you speak. Bless rather than curse somebody. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, and this is God speaking, but I'll prove that it is not only true for God, it's also true for us. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall exceed in the things which I have sent it. That is God when He speaks. This is how this world came into existence. He spoke it. And now look what Jesus says in Mark 11:23. He says, truly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says shall come to pass. So going back to Isaiah 55, that is an imprint, or God did it, and He also allows us to do it. So it will be done for Him. It finishes off in Mark 23. So do you believe that mountain that is in front of you right now that you cannot even see over? Is that mountain that big that you can say, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, I don't know how to turn to? Try Jesus. Try Him. So that you may be able to have a testimony here, and that you may be able to share the real life things that God has helped you through. And it's noteworthy if you have something to share, to encourage one another. Even if you just share it with another person, it would be truly awesome if some of you could come up now, even for 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, short little things that God has done for you through your life. It is not a small thing to believers when we have little testimonies of what God has done for in our lives. Every day, God does something for us. Even if it's praying that God protects you and nothing happens to you, guess what happened? Something did happen. He protected you and nothing happened. So we take those things for granted and think they're minute, but they're not important. But yes, they are. I always pray that God kept leaving my quad down in Mendocino there for me and Gary. We have him parked there. And I always pray, Lord, you will not let anybody vandalize them or steal them or destroy them. And every day, every week, we go there, nothing is touched. And I'm a firm believer that God puts angels there And even if people would want to steal, they can't because there's a barrier there. I've heard testimonies of that where people have prayed and asked for God's protection and somebody came, especially of a woman who had gone walking into a dark alley and this rapist was in the area and he saw her. And I don't know exactly how the story goes, but the gist of it was that they had asked him why he did not go for that woman, and he said, well, she was with two big men. And she said, there was nobody with me. Guess who the guy saw that were the two big men? They were angels that she, by faith, believed that they're there to protect. And they are our ministering servants. They are there to minister to us for protection. But guess what? There is a condition to it. And the condition is simple. We have to ask. We cannot, for today, pray for tomorrow. The prayers that you pray are for today. Tomorrow is another day. So every day you get up and you pray for protection upon your children, upon your possessions, whatever you have, you ask God to keep you and you yourselves. By your best protection is also, do not be a thief yourself, because then God cannot protect. So keep yourselves in all areas of your lives. I'll repeat Mark 11, again, verse 23. It says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it shall be done for him. So in 1 Peter 3:10, it says, for whosoever desires to love life and see good days. Let's look at the conditions of that. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Why does he say that? Because it has an adverse effect also when you speak evil. That evil could come to pass. So you have to make sure when you speak, it is intentional and deliberate. When you open your mouth, choose to bless. I don't care who the person is, what he does, what you've seen him do. Choose to bless. Choose to pray. God does not show you somebody else's failure for you to criticize him. He shows them to you to pray for them. If you choose to use him to criticize him, then you are using evil, using him to speak evil and to bring evil upon him. So if you've been privileged to show things from another person by God, that means it is for the purpose of praying for him and not to gossip about him. And having said that, that concludes my message. And I think if we will take that to heart, there is not more we can retain in our minds and in our hearts than to actually trust in the living God. If you read of the patriarchs, of Abraham, of Isaac, Jacob, came down to trust. To trust in God that what he says he is able to perform. Do you trust God today that he's able to perform? Do you trust God for the exam that you're doing that he's going to be able to give you good grades? But there's a... Don't expect to not do the study. You have to still study. Do your part. He will not do something that you did not put your mind to first and make sure that you learned and that you applied your heart to things, like applying your heart to the Word of God. Make sure you have a relationship with Him. Make sure you know Him. Make sure you are applicable when He shows you things. Don't be set in your ways so hard that He cannot change you in certain areas where he needs to change. Change doesn't mean what you are into is bad. Change would mean there's deeper things, better things. There's growth. So always look for the deep things of God. Anyway, the Lord bless you, and thank you for giving me an audience. Otherwise, I would have had nobody to preach to if you wouldn't be here.
As I wake up with the morning of each day that passes by, and I listen to the sound upon my ear, I can't help but to keep a watch towards the eastern sky. And I wonder if the trumpet will be the next sound that I'll hear. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How I long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. All my earthly disappointments and my trials here below fade away when I remember His last words. He said He'd return and receive His children unto Him, and I'm longing to look upon the face of my Lord. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How I long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What